I know as children we can remember we always wanted to get gifts. But then as you get older, it's a wonderful thing to be able to give your children gifts, your grandchildren gifts, give each other gifts. And it as Christians, as saved, part of the church and part of God's army, it's a blessing through the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given us the unction to give gifts, because it feels good in our heart to give a gift. You think how God felt when He gave His Son for us. Even though it was a torturous end, but because of what He did and because of what He did on the cross, He gave us the gift of salvation through circumstances that only His Son could bear. He was the only one, you think about this, in the whole universe that had the ability to pay for our sins. One. The only way to heaven. The only doorway. The narrow gate. He's the one. So thank the Lord for, as we've heard many people say over the years, the reason for the season is Jesus. We here as seniors with grandchildren and children, many of us, we don't want to ever not tell them the real reason for the season. And we're going to look at the coming of Christ here in a little different way. And why did He come? And we can answer that easily. Most of us can. But the world's out there, folks, and they can't answer that question. Most people, you even ask them why they're saved, they can't really tell you. A lot of folks can't. Well, I'm a good person, or I go to church, or I do this, or I do that. It's all I. It's not what Christ did on the cross. To give a clear presentation of the gospel, in today's world, we have a society, a younger society, that doesn't know. And it's, I don't know that it's none of their fault, that it's maybe some our fault, passing it on to the next generation. We know that the nation of Israel forgot about God because the fathers forgot to pass it on to the children. And we know what happened to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament because of that. Sin crept in, and hundreds of years passed, and there become a nation that knew not God. The people knew not God. Is the United States on that path? I often think about that. Here we are 200 and some years old as a country, which is fairly young compared to the rest of the world and nations. Are we on that path that we have a generation that knows not God? And Christmas is a good time. It's a wonderful time to witness. It's a wonderful time to remind people what Christ did and the gift that He gave, what God gave, is a one-of-a-kind gift. So let's move along. I've kind of got off on a rabbit trail there. Praise the Lord for His name. Thank you for being here this morning on Gift Sunday at Buffalo Ridge. And thank Miss Vickers for putting all those cups together for us. She did a great job getting all that together. And she started talking to me about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's about a lot like my wife. She wants to get stuff done. And I can see a lady back there grinning, and she makes her husband get stuff done. Yeah, shake your head. Yeah, in the ministry. So, Praise the Lord for a good woman. Pastor Leslie's got one. I know that. All of us have been blessed with good wives. Anyway, that helps us get things done on time. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Thank you for praying for my wife and I as Debbie's went through her treatments, and we had to be off a week ago, and y'all were blessed to hear Pastor Leslie again. And I think we may need to be off again in the next month or so, but if we do, I'm going to try to get him back up here, because that's a good thing, hearing Pastor Leslie preach some of the things that he's talked about in the past. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you did on that cross. Lord, we thank you for this time of season that we can celebrate your birth, and gives us an opportunity to reach out to others, witness for you, and tell the world the truth about why you came. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for your many blessings in this church and this church family, and there's so many folks that needs prayer, and so many folks sick, going through treatments, going through therapy. We could just go on and on with our prayer list. Lord, we just thank you for these prayer warriors that we have here. I know they're here. I hear it from them. And Lord, I thank you for that. That they're praying for me, and they're praying for my wife, and they're praying for others. And that's a powerful thing. And we thank you for that. Thank you for those folks that are prayer warriors. Now, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, praise your name that you're going to do something special here this morning. Help our pastor to preach the words that someone needs to hear today, that someone will get saved. Lord, we love you. Bless this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the lesson today is The Coming of Christ. And there's a lot of references here that you can just write down and go read them, but I'll talk about each one of them in some length here. And I have a little outline. These things are hard to copy, but I've got just notes all over them. But anyway, in John 6:42 it says, "And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" See, they were wrong at that point. They were assuming that he was his father. These were unsaved people. They didn't know. "How is it then that he said, I come down from heaven?" See, they were questioning him, who he was, his deity. At that point, these folks were. Of course, we had these Pharisees and Sadducees. And see, they're very sad, you see. Because they did not want Christ. They did not believe who he was. They didn't want to believe who he was. Do you know anybody today that does not want to believe? That does not want to hear the truth? We have a world that needs the truth. We have a society that needs the truth. Talking to some businessmen this week, how many people's moving into this area, in the area of Knoxville. East Tennessee is very attractive to the world right now. We've got so many people. Have you drove out some of these old country roads where there used to just be pasture bottoms, and now there's housing developments? We are growing, folks, and we need to reach out to those folks that are moving into this area. I want them to be saved. I want them to know Christ as their personal Savior, and I would love for them to attend Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We have something special here in this church. We don't preach what we think. We don't preach our opinion. We preach what God's Word says. Period. Blank. What does God's Word say? Now, we can rabbit trail off and talk about commentaries and what they say or what this person says. But the fact is, when Christ came to the world and when he started doing his ministry, people didn't want to hear it. They had a group of people following him around trying to disprove who he was all the time. So the question comes, why did Christ come? We know in our hearts, in our minds, we can simply say that Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. That he is the doorway, he is the Christ, he is the Savior. He shed his blood for you and I and the world. We know that in our hearts. The Holy Spirit's give us that confidence. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You ever think about the Holy Spirit? We got so much when we got saved. We got so much in that gift that day that he was born there in that manger. The gift to humanity, the gift to the world at that day. The Holy Spirit came down, and Christ, when he went back to heaven after his death on the cross, he was raised again, and he told the disciples, there's a comforter coming. It's going to be along your side to help you as a Christian. And how much do we need that in today's world, as we all deal with lost loved ones, people that are sick, our loved ones that are sick, friends that are sick? We need that Holy Spirit that richly dwells within us. Sometimes we can forget to call on that power that God has given us through his Son, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So we sometimes assume all these things and take them for granted. I know I do, because I've been saved, what, almost 50 years. And a lot of us here have been saved a long time. And we need to become new in what we really understand and believe, what we really have. We have a lot in Christ. Now, Christ confronted these things when he was in his ministry, and really to explain the purpose of his incarnation is best explained by using his own words. So we can look at we'll start looking at Matthew 10:34, and it says, not to spread peace, but the sword. It says, I think not that I come to spread peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the word, a sword. The doctrine of Christ is directly contrary to the carnal mind. We don't understand. The carnal mind is hard to understand that. He came to do peace, but it was going to be a sword to those of us that accepts persecution. To those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and say that I trust Christ, I believe that he saved me. You know, there is a persecution that we don't understand. You have to go on some mission trips. I've been with Brother Harry to the Central Europe and the Far East and India and this and that and the other, and Africa. I've been to Africa quite a long time. Folks become very persecuted in some of these other countries because they decide to believe that Christ died for them. Now, that's what Christ is talking about here. The persecution that you receive when you decide to say, I'm saved. I'm trusting what he did on the cross. Some of these religions, marriages split. They get completely thrown out of their families. They lose their inheritance. They get completely thrown out of the current church that they were going to. Some of them are getting threatened by death. We have, in this great country that we have here, praise the Lord, I know there's a lot of things that we could say this is wrong and that's wrong. We've never yet in this country had the kind of persecution that is going on in the world today. Not necessarily some that you're thinking about, but some of these big churches with what they call priests and this and that. There is some persecution there also for folks that leave that religion and come to Christ. Persecution is a real thing. We don't ever think about that a whole lot here in this great country, because we just have not. We have, this country was set up on freedom of religion. Go back and read the Constitution. Go back and read some of those things that established, those men that established this great country. People don't talk like that anymore. People don't write like that anymore. We have a great country that we live in, that live away from that kind of persecution that these people were receiving. Now, we had these Pharisees and Sadducees and these lawyers and people, these legalists, were following these Jews around at the time and saying, "Look, you're going to believe this man?" See, they didn't want to admit that he was God. They didn't want to admit that he was deity and God at the same time. We're going to talk about that, I think, in next week. And then in Matthew 11:27, another reason why he came was to reveal the Father. 11:27 says, "All things are delivered unto me from my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but my Father." Now, all things delivered, of course, this is taught in the New Testament clearly in many different places, but it simply means that Christ is in control of all things. You know, those folks in those days, they did not want to hear that Christ controlled all things. The government, the universe, is committed to him as a mediator. We have a mediator sitting at the right hand of God today because of our salvation, because of the righteousness bestowed on us. We don't get consumed by God. He loves us. He sees Christ's righteousness on us. But all things, when you say all, that's big. That's everything. Everything on this earth, under the sea, in the universe, that's hard for us as a mere mortal mind to understand the grip of that all. It's God. It's big. He was the Son, but he was God. Our minds could just go so far thinking about it. It's like thinking about heaven. You can only think so far and your mind just stops. It's impossible for us to comprehend the gravity of the whole thing. But that's God. It would overload us if we even thought we could think about it all. No man knoweth the Son, he says in that verse. No man knoweth the Son. It's a mystery. It's one of those mysteries in the Bible. The Bible talks about mysteries. And a lot of times in the New Testament, it talks about a mystery that was in the Old Testament, but now it's revealed in the New Testament what was going on 1,000 years prior. See the prophets and the major prophets and the minor prophets seeing out into the future and seeing what Christ coming and what he was going to do, and seeing the end of the world as we know it today, and the thousand-year reign, and all that they saw. Different ones saw those peaks of prophecy, and they didn't understand it. It was a mystery at that time. Now we have more today with the New Testament, and we understand some of those things as we've read, and you can take Revelations and go back to all the old prophets and look at those things and compare it and have a more of an understanding. But how do we explain the mystery of divine and human nature in one? Only God can do that. That's what happened at Christmas time. He was born of a virgin. He did not have a father on this earth. As those Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to say, well, your father was that carpenter. No, that's not the case. He was divine but human at the same time. I can't figure that out. I don't know near what Pastor Lashley knows, but he can't figure that out either. It's hard to fully comprehend all that God gave us that day when He was born on the cross, when He was born on the manger, heading toward the cross. So no man knoweth the Son, no man, it says, no man, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father. How can we know God? We know God through His Word here is what we have. We have today the complete Bible, the King James Version, written in a language that we can understand clearly what God wants us to understand. But to comprehend an infinite God, no man can do that. And that's Christ Himself saying this now. That's in His words, that no man can do that. So we can only go so far thinking about these things. So what do we think about? Think about what God's given us in the Word. We understand that He was born in a manger. We understand that. We believe that. That His mom was a virgin, I believe that. Oh, you can take some of these versions and really get that confused. They try to humanize her and Him. It's craziness. Take the Word as it is. Don't take anything from it. Don't add anything to it. He was born of a virgin. He was God and human at the same time. Why did He choose to come as a baby? Why didn't He just come in as a man? All these questions can pop up in our mind. When we start looking at Christ's life, the Bible really don't talk a lot about His grown up ages, years. We have just a little vision of some of the things He did when He was a child. Mostly the whole New Testament is about the last 3 or 4 years of His life. 3.5 years or so. And what He did, and who He taught, and what they learned to be able to set up the New Testament church as we have today. We can link this church back. We know we can look back 200 and some years and see where it come off the East Coast, and where that came from up in the Northeast, and where that came from back to England. And on and on and on, we can see where the New Testament churches came forward in a remnant. There's always a remnant, folks. We're part of that remnant today. And we're trying to establish more remnant. More people need to be saved and hear this message and hear it clear. So neither no man knoweth the Father. We just clearly can't comprehend that. And then the next verse I want to look at is Mark 2:17. Why did Christ come? We've looked at three things. The first one was to send peace, but a sword we get instead. That's hard to understand that. But we do. Persecution. And the second thing is to reveal the Father. And the third thing here is to call sinners to repentance. In Mark 2:17, and when Jesus heard it, He said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Plain and simple. He came to save people. He came to save people. Now, you can look at that verse there. We've got a couple references here. One of them would be Zacchaeus, and one of them would be, oh, I forget now. I'd have to look it up. But anyway, the word it. Look at that. In that verse, he says, and when Jesus heard it. Now, what was it that he was hearing? Jesus was hearing that these publicans and scribes and Pharisees, this goes back to some of the things that I told you about in the beginning of this class about classes of people. That's another thing that we don't deal with in this country that still is in other countries, in third world countries. You have classes. These Pharisees, Sadducees, said, if you're the preacher who you say you are, why are you going to Zacchaeus' house and have dinner with that man? They couldn't believe that he was doing that, because he was just one of them. He was one of those untouchables. He was one of those folks that we didn't want to have anything to do with. He was one of them, man. Can you believe them people over there, how they're dressed and how they're acting? Folks, just go to Walmart and sit in the parking lot. Now, I'm telling you, we can do like this now. We can point that finger. We can real quick be like a publican, be like a scribe, be like a Pharisee. You don't believe me? Go drive down there and park in the parking lot, especially at the first of the month. Look at this. Folks, they just need a good dose of Jesus, and all things will change. Now, we don't have to change them. The Holy Spirit will change them. Now, we've heard this before in this church. I've heard it from that man. I've heard it from a preacher right now. Bless your heart. If somebody comes in here, don't you dare belittle them for the way they dress or the way they look. Welcome them and say, praise the Lord, they're here. And say a prayer. I hope they get saved today. Folks, Christ came to seek and to save sinners. And those scribes and Pharisees, those lawyers, those publicans, those politicians, they were so high and mighty, they felt like that they were just above everybody. Now, I don't want to be like that. But we have that old sin nature in us now, folks. In a heartbeat, we can get judgmental. We know that's not right. I hope the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that, if you've done that. I Debbie went in Walmart down there the other day, and I sat there in that parking lot, and I was just, every time I go, I don't like going anyway, but society as a whole, it's there. It needs help. People need the Lord. They need the Lord. They need to be saved. And that's why Christ came. That's one of the reasons why he came. In that verse right there, to call sinners to repentance. And the same thing in Luke 19:10 talks about Zacchaeus, talking to Zacchaeus, Luke 19:10, that chapter whole, Luke 19 there, the beginning of it, says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Christ's answer to these guys when they were criticizing them, saying, why, I can't believe you're going over there. You don't need to get around them kind of people. If you say you're who you are, you don't want to be around them kind of people. Come on. It's hard sometimes for us. all of us that dress right and look right and smell right, come to the right church, act right, part of the time. Folks, it's easy to get off on that path and point that finger. We ought to say, brother, you need to go over and hand him a track. See, I'm convicted right now. Because I didn't. I should have. Should have got out of the car and went over and handed him a track. See, the Lord's already touched me. Guilty. And then we look at John 6:38. To do the will of his Father. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven to do. Let me read this. I've got tears in my eyes. Hold on. Sorry. For John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And 39 says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise up again in the last day. A lot said right there in that verse. God gave Christ us. God gave Christ people. He was a people person. I think, in my opinion, preachers are people persons. Preacher Lassley's just an old creek boy like I am. I'm a coal field. And he just told God to use him. Got another local boy sitting back there that's going to the mission field. He's just an old creek boy from this area. And God's going to use him. Brother Harry from right here locally. Steelworker, welder, Eastman, went to a mission field. God can use anybody. And I'm not belittling that. If we have talents, God wants to use them. But Christ said the Father's will was that he gave them that people. He gave them us. That's another reason why he came. To do his Father's will. He wanted to do what his Father wanted him to do. God wanted us to recognize Christmas for what it really is. It was his birthday of his Son. It was God's will that he gave the people of this world to Jesus. It is God's will that the New Testament church was established to spread the word. It was God's will that the Bible that we have today in our English translation, the 1611 King James, is for us to have today to spread the word. It is God's will for people to be saved. Is it God's will for us to be part of that? Yes, it is. We read the word. We understand the word. All of us citizens that are sitting right here, young to senior citizens, we understand it really well, don't we? Is it God's will for you to hand a tract to somebody? Yes, it is. Is it God's will for you to give the word out? Yes, it is. That's why he came, folks. He was doing his Father's will. God wanted you saved. That's Christ and God is the same. Three in one, the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. That he came to seek and save us. That all these things, let's go back and look at them once again. The reasons why Christ was come. Not to send peace, but the sword. That's one of the reasons. Become a big controversy. Big controversy. Persecution because of what you believe. And how free we are to give that out today in this great country. Without persecution. To reveal the Father, to call sinners unto repentance, to seek and to save which was lost, and to do the Father's will. To do the will of the Father. Those things right there is the reason why he came. Now we can shorten that this time of year and talk about Christmas, and he was born into the world to die on the cross, the basic, what we call the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's what we need to tell. We don't need to get grandiose, deep into theology when we're talking to somebody that needs Christ. You have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you're talking to folks. Some you can talk to, some you can't. You have to slowly do it. How do you do that? You just get to know them. You befriend people. A lot of the missionaries go around and they knock on doors. And they knock on doors again. And finally that person says, yeah, come in. Finally that person may come to a meeting. And finally that person may come to know Christ. It takes a long time sometimes. We prayed for Debbie's dad for 20 or 30 years. And he got saved. All of you have had people that's been saved after a long time. I was saved when I was 13. Preacher was too. A lot of us here were saved young. Levi, he was saved when he was 4. And he's in England preaching today. Praise the Lord. So, you know, God uses us in a mighty, mighty way. Now we can look at the New Testament. Matthew, Luke talks about genealogy. Let's look a little bit about genealogy here. In Matthew, it's mentioned 41 times his name, different names, including Jesus. It's divided into three parts, 14 generations it talks about there in Matthew. Now, of course, we need to remember that this genealogy in Matthew traces back to Father Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race. So remember, Matthew is written for the Jews to understand the gospel. Okay? And he uses the term begat all the way through there and employed that word, which meant a lot to the Jews because the Jews really, lineage to them is very important. Then we look at Luke, the genealogy in Luke talks about Christ has 74 names including Jesus. I mean, all kinds of names. I've got a list somewhere. I think it's almost 1,000 names, or maybe I'm mistaken. I know it's over 500 in the whole Bible, the names of God that's been called. But here in these chapters, we're looking at some things, and he's also included the lineage here in Matthew has to do with the Gentiles. So he traces back to Adam, the father of the human race, in Luke. We're Gentiles here, folks. I don't know if there's anybody here got Jewish lineage. I don't think there is. They may be. I think we've got somebody in here in our church that does. Family. Our lineage is Gentiles. And praise the Lord that old Paul and them missionaries made them missionary trips and established churches to the Gentiles. You and I are saved because of that. Because of this New Testament church that was established in those days. The pattern of this church is the pattern of those churches. Even how we do our church services here. It's not made up. It's what God's Word says to do. How do you conduct a service? It's what God's Word says to do. Pastor Leslie didn't think these things up in the last 40-some years, 50 years, and hundreds of years before that in this church. It's the oldest church in Tennessee. It's what God's Word says. I keep going back to that because it's important that we witness and teach others also what God says. And what God says is in this book right here. It's not what I'm saying. When you get started with somebody, you need to make sure they understand that this is the inspired Word of God. Sometimes, if you're witnessing to somebody that's really inquisitive and they start asking deep questions, you need to keep them simple, but just make sure they understand that this is God's inspired, breathed Word. That it's not what I say or some man written down. It's what God had written down. They can get a grip on that. Especially in John. John kind of sums up all the three Gospels. We've talked about that some. So looking at a summary of what we've looked at here today. He's seen here as a member of the human race. Back to Adam. He had an earthly mother, but not a father. That's so important that we say that right. That you take him to those scriptures so people can understand that. He is from God, the Father. Christ is seen in the Jewish line back to Abraham. That's important to Jews. Now, we have some missionaries straight to the Jews. What's his name? I forget right now. Y'all know the missionary I'm talking about. He knows how to witness to Jews. It's really, I don't know that we have really devout Jews in this area. I'm not sure. People say I'm Jewish, but God's got a special part of the Bible for them to understand that what this lineage that it talks about here, they can look at that and understand that they're part of the human race here that God died for. And sometimes that can get difficult even for me or anybody. And if you need some help on that, I'm sure the pastor can line you out, Preacher Lassie can line you out on some things and how to, tools to use to witness to particular groups of people. Christ is seen in the royal line of David. We know that, talks about that on as we get closer to the tribulation period and the millennial reign as Christ sits on that throne for 1,000 years on this earth and then into the new heaven and new earth after the 1,000-year reign. So we know that he is the royal line of David. The son of David, the Bible says. And Christ is seen as God, both God and man. His sonship. He is the Son of God, not his earthly father. He is the Son of God. Praise the Lord for all these wonderful truths that the Bible has in, that the New Testament has in it, saying, why did God come to earth? People may ask that question this time of year. And it's more than just Christmas. It's more than that. It's all those things. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. Praise His high and holy name. I need to quit. I could just talk on. Thank you for listening this morning. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you all. Let me pray and we'll go. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you for your birthday. Help us all to celebrate Christmas in the right attitude in our heart. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this great church. Lord, bless the morning service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thank you.
Good lesson.
Thank you.
Mr. Mullins?
Yes.